Money? I think today the fame from what Brother Chris was, not Pastor Chris, but Brother Chris was doing, the most of the fame today was about the false prophet. So Brother Chris, I think he was just leading me to that sermon that perhaps I should preach about false prophet. So what do you mean, prepared to preach about that, but I'm false? Because we talked about that. No, actually prepared. Amen. So we're going to read from 2 Peter chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 3. So I will try to do my sermon in English. It says in Soto, Shabesa Israel le teng, o bile le ba profeta ba bohata. Ka mogha o jwalo, o tla ba le ba ruti ba bohata, hara lona. Patatisa ka segugu dithuto tse gelohileng, tse e santimelong. Patla be ba latola morena ya ba lopolotseng. Mme ka hona, ba itlisetse timelo ka potlako. Ba bangata ba ka botlatela tseleng ya bogopo, mme ka baka la bona, tsela ya nnete e tla nyefolwa. Ka baka la meharo ya bona, ba tla le hanyapetsa ka dipolelo tseo ba ikapetseng tsona. E se e le gale moahlodi wa bona a ba emetse, mme motimetsi wa bona ga a galeng. Okay. In English it says, but there were also false prophets among the people, thus as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destructions on themselves. Many will follow the shameful ways and will bring the word of truth into disrepute. In that greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. I think here we find Apostle Peter in chapter 1 presenting or reminding the church the message that he was preaching to them. And he was reminding them that he is the eyewitness of Christ, that what he's telling them is not something that he picked up from somewhere, but it's something that he was there. He heard Jesus preach and he saw Christ. And the second thing that he's reminding them is the fact that this way that he is preaching has been testified by the prophets. The prophets who came long ago, like the Isaiah, the Moses, the Jeremiahs and the Ezekiel. But then again, he is telling them that, look, even though I'm the eyewitness of these things, and the prophets of God are testifying to what I'm saying, there are also false prophets who have entered into the church, and they are in a way preaching a different message to the message that I'm preaching. That's why he's saying that even back then, there were also false prophets. And now, they are also false prophets. So he's trying to tell them that they shouldn't be surprised that today we do have false prophets. Now I want us to look at these false prophets and these false teachers just to see their origin. How did they come about? Why do we have them? And what will happen to them? And what kind of signs or fruits can we use to know if a person is a false prophet? I think maybe if we can give a definition of what a false teaching or false prophecy is, we can say that a false prophet is a preacher that questions the word of God while at the same time elevating his own word to be above the word of God. We see that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, Satan, the serpent was speaking to Eve, the first thing he did when he spoke to Eve, he says, did God really say? Remember that Eve had a message from God, that God says, you shall not eat that tree. But the first thing that Satan did, or this false prophet, the first one said is, did God really say that? So what he's doing, he's questioning the word of God, while at the same time he's elevating his own weight. So that's what the false prophets will most likely do. They will go and tell you, but did God really say that? From the way I see it, God was actually saying this. So that's what they will do. The second thing they will do, they will elevate themselves above God. They will make themselves to be superior than God. We see that in Acts chapter 12 with Herod. Herod was giving a speech in the Roman world. And after he gave a speech, people said, yeah, that was the word of God. And the Bible says, because he failed to acknowledge God, the angel of God struck him down. He died immediately. In Daniel chapter 11 verse 36, we hear Daniel prophesying about this man who will come and who will elevate himself above God. Maybe I can read it. Daniel chapter 11 verse 36. He says, this man will exalt and magnify himself above every god, and will say unheard of things against the God of God. So that's what the false prophets do. They elevate themselves to be above God, so that their followers will have to believe everything they say. And if we tell them that from the Bible says, they will say no. We have to believe what our bishop or our apostle is saying. So the third thing we can see from this definition is that these are creatures that tell lies in the name of God. Some of them, they will tell you that God said this to me. They emphasize this special revelation that God gave to them and them only. We see it with Joseph Smith of the moment. He says that God gave him this special revelation that only he got. So that's what the false teachers do. They emphasize this special revelation that somehow they are superhuman, that today have this gift from God. But then let's look at the history of false teaching. I think first point we see on this history of false teaching is that Satan is the first false teacher. We read in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. He says that it basically describes what happened to him while he was still an angel. He says, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. So here, we see that before humans were created, Satan already was deceiving others. He deceived the angels that he was put in charge of. He deceived them into this plot that he have to dethrone God, to go and put a rebellion against God and install himself as the Most High God. We see that he questioned the authority of God above those angels, and he himself wanted to be a sovereign. He wanted to be God. And pride was his downfall. And also that he set a precedent for all the false teachers that came afterwards. So this thing that the false teachers are doing, they saw them from Satan. Because he was the first one who ever deceived people, who ever wanted to be like God. And then we see that Satan is the first false prophet who deceived people in Genesis chapter 3, where we just read, he's the one who deceived Eve. Before then, nobody could go and deceive people, but Satan came and deceived Eve. He did that by questioning God. And that's the operators, mundi of all the false teachers. They question God so that you can believe them. And then we see that Eve is the first human to endorse or to fall prey to these false teachers. When Eve stopped believing the word of God and believed the word of Satan, then she opened a way for our people coming after her to also do the same, to also believe the word of Satan instead of the word of God. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 14, it actually makes that point that Eve was the first to be deceived. It doesn't mean that women are the ones who are more likely to be deceived. It just means that Eve was a woman and he was deceived. But we know that Adam soon followed in that deception as well. So we see that false teaching is as ancient as our creation. It's not something that just came in now with the Nigerians or the guys from outside or the guys from TBN. It's something that has been there and has taken different forms. And it kind of evolves as time goes on. And false teaching has affected all generations of humankind. All generations of people since Adam and Eve have been subjected to this false teaching. Some of them have not fallen prey to it, but it was there, it was available to them. But somehow God kept them from it. Now I want us to look at the current false teachers, whether if we do really have false teachers today. Peter, in where we just read, he says that yeah, there is false teachers, so we have no reason to believe that there are no false teachers. Apostle John said many false teachers have gone out into the world. In 1 John chapter 4 verse 1, Peter said there were false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Paul said, evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Jesus said, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. So we have no reason to believe that there are no false teachers, that somehow we are living in this revival where people are not being deceived, or false teaching is not rampant. So we know that there are false teachers, and we learn here that they will get worse as time goes on. So the false teachers today are worse than the false teachers in Jesus' time and Paul's time. Now, so they are so worse that those guys who were false teachers then will look at these guys saying, even us, we never did those kind of things. That's how they are. Now, these are current generations of false teachers. They are the best in false teaching, in being false prophets. So what they do is what has been refined and looked over into years to make sure it becomes even more deceitful. But Jesus said about the false prophets of his time that they are children of the devil. You can read it in John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus said, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. So Jesus was saying that these false teachers of his time, they were like spiritual children of Satan, who he himself is or was a false teacher. And these false prophets, they were there to carry out their desires or the purposes of Satan. So Satan is the one behind them, and Satan is the one that gives them the messages, that gives them the goals or the desires that that they have to accomplish. So what Satan couldn't achieve when he rebelled against God, he has delegated that responsibility to these false teachers. So they are basically continuing Satan's rebellion that started even way before people existed. So that's what they are. So the hatred that Satan had for God, he has somehow imputed this hatred to these false teachers. So these false teachers, they hate God as much as Satan hates God. People think that these false teachers, they are just there to make money. Yes, they are there. But behind their desires for money and their desires for power is basically the hatred that they have for God. So this hatred for God is revealed in the fact that they want God's people to perish and to go to hell. This is the same thing that Satan wants. Now we know that Satan's goal is to lead many people to hell, because he is destined to hell. And he wants as many people as possible to also be destined to hell, so that he may not be alone in this deception of his. Maybe that's why there is these false teachers have a big following. People think that just people who are eloquent, or maybe just people who have some wise ways or some psychology they are used against people. But these people, they are somehow being spiritually driven by a Satan. Just as Christians are being Holy Spirit powered to preach the word, these false teachers are Satan powered to preach the word, and this power they get from Satan, it makes it easy for them to be able to woo the crowds, to be able to deceive people. If there was not this demonic power behind them, they would fail in their mission. Just as we will also fail if there was not this Holy Spirit power behind us, so that when we preach the word, then the word goes out in power. In Matthew 7 verse 13, I can read it quickly. Matthew 7 verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." So now we see that these false prophets, they will have big followings, they will have mega churches. It doesn't work any other way. So the fact that these guys would have mega churches, it doesn't mean that somehow they are more successful. No, if you are a false prophet, you will have a mega church, you will have a following. Because that's how it is, because the road to destruction has been designed to be such that too many people have to go through it. And we know that in verse 14 it says that small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So we shouldn't be surprised that it's only a few of us here, but then it's a lot of them there. That's how it is. That's how Satan has, that's how Jesus said it will happen. So if you are a false teacher, you only have to put up a tent, people will come. You don't need to go and do anything extraordinary for people to come to you. So these guys next door are not special. They're just false teachers. Satan will bring people to them and people will follow them. But then how can you know that the person is a false teacher? Jesus in Matthew 7 verse 16, he said, "You will know them by the fruit. By the fruit you shall know them." This means that their actions or non-actions or the way they do things is how we will know that a person is a false teacher, a person is a false prophet. Now let's look at some of these fruits that are more prevalent. The first one is the fact that they twist the Bible to suit their agenda. First thing that we can know about them is that they are enemies of God's ways. I don't think a person can be a false prophet who followed the word of God to the letter. You can be. So now what they have to do, they have to go to the word of God and find a way to twist it. Which is what most of them do. So the hatred for the word of God is born out of the hatred of God. And the other thing they know that people don't read the Bible. So they use that against these people who are following them to go and twist the Bible so that they might have a misguided view of what the Bible is or what the Bible is saying. And we see it in other places where they forbid people from having the Bible. I mean, the Roman Catholic Church has done that for centuries. They refuse for people to have access to the word of God. They want only the preachers, the false prophets, to be the one who have this word. And then they go in the pulpit and tell people what the word is saying. But then if people say, no, I want the Bible to go and read it myself, they say, no, you can't go and read it yourself. We will tell you what the Bible is saying. We know that the King James Version, or the Wycliffe Bible, came out of the fact that the false religion of that time forbidding people to have a Bible in English. And John Wycliffe suffered martyrdom because of that, because he wanted the Bible to be available to the masses. But then again, we see that these false teachers are actually an answer to the people with itching ears. Paul said to Timothy that in the last days, people will have itching ears. They wouldn't want to hear the true word of God. They will want to hear what sounds like the word of God, but then it's mostly different to it, so that they might feel good about themselves. So these false teachers, they know that people do not want to hear the word of God. So they're taking advantage of that. So they're sort of an answer to those people with itching ears. We know that they will never preach about sin. They will never preach about righteousness, God's requirement for people to be holy. They will never preach about judgment, the wrath to come, hell. You will never find a false prophet preaching about hell. In fact, we have one false prophet, Robel, who says, no, there is no such thing as hell. We know that Billy Graham, for years, he said that hell is just a spiritual state where a person is separated from the love of God. They will never go and confront people and tell people, look, there is hell, there is a place, an actual place of judgment called hell. We know that they also get involved in false prediction. Last year there was this guy called Harold Camping. He said that the world is going to end in December 2012. The world has not ended. But that's what the false prophets do. They want to sensationalize what the Bible is saying. The Bible says there will come an end to the world as we know it. And they go and twist that and bring up a date. Even though the Bible says no. Nobody knows the day or the hour. I mean, we see these false prophets on our TV. Like Joel Osteen never reads the Bible. He just goes there and holding the Bible and saying his sermon or what a psychology class or something for like 30 minutes. But he will never once open the Bible and read from the Bible. We know there's Jehovah's Witnesses. They are not allowed to use any other Bible except the Bible that they themselves have went and manipulated. And these guys, they will use words like God helps those who help themselves. People grow up thinking that saying is in the Bible, but it's nowhere to be found in the Bible. So they're just twisting the little of what people know about the Bible and make it out to be so deceptive as people could believe it and could think that it is in the Bible. Now, the second fruit that we see from these false prophets is that they offer false assurance to people. In Jeremiah, God says, do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. Now, what these guys are doing, they are making people think that they are at peace with God when people are not at peace with God. They lead people to sinner's prayer. I went to a funeral somewhere in Soweto at the Lutheran church, and this woman pastor, she told the whole church to pray this prayer, and the whole church prayed except me, and she told the tower, now you are going to heaven because you said this prayer. Immediately after the funeral, people go out drinking and committing the adultery. But then, because they have been told that they are now at peace with God, they are now going to heaven, they are doing that now with a clean conscience. Because now they have been given a false assurance. And they tell people that they are saved just because they were baptized as kids. Friends of mine, when I tried to witness to them, they said, no, don't worry about us. When we are young, we were baptized in our church. And the pastor told us that because of that, we are now going to go to heaven, guaranteed. Just a couple of months ago, he was baptizing one of his children because he wanted that child to go to heaven. So now they've been told, if you take your child and you sprinkle them with water in the church ceremony somewhere, then that child will go to heaven. That's a lie. There's no such thing in the Bible. They don't preach repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. They just tell them, no, there's another way that you can be saved. That's the false assurance that they give to people. Some they tell them that you are saved by just going to our church. That our church is somehow special, somehow God has put this special anointing on it, that whoever goes to it will automatically be saved. Some are proclaiming self-righteousness as a means to go to heaven, that if you don't kill, if you don't steal, if you don't commit these big sins, then you will be at peace with God and you will now go to heaven. But what they are doing, they are putting themselves as mediators between God and man. So some of these guys are more obvious. I mean, just know that, okay, this one is just a heretic. He's just a false prophet. But then there are ones that are not so obvious. There are ones that are so deceptive that many people will follow for years and decades, not knowing that these people are actually false prophets. One of those people is Billy Graham. Billy Graham. People follow him, thinking that he's the greatest evangelist the world has ever seen. But then if you look at what Billy Graham says, you have to see it and notice that perhaps this guy is the false prophet. I want to read your quote of what Billy Graham said in one television show. He said, "I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they are conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ." And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name. Whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world, they are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they think that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have. And I think that they are saved and they are going to be with us in heaven. This man is called the most famous Christian in the world. He's saying people who turn to Islam and Buddhism, they are saved. They will be in heaven because somehow that's the only light they have. They know they need something, so they are getting that something from Islam or Buddhism. So now they are fine. So they are now saved. But that's heresy. That's the same thing that false prophets are teaching. That's the same thing that false teachers are teaching. So now we have no reason to believe that this man is not a false prophet. He is a false prophet. Now, because of these false teachers, many people die thinking that they are at peace with God, only to find misery in hell when they die. Now, third thing we're going to look at, third fruit of these false prophets, is that they indulge in sin and encourage others to do the same. Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 2, verse 14, he said, with eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. He was referring to these false prophets that with eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. Now, one of the most obvious signs you can see for your false prophet is the love for sin and the way they make an excuse for their sins, or the way they never condemn sin, the way they make people feel happy or not guilty for their sin. And almost all of them, they are somehow involved in adultery, or they committed adultery. I mean, I can just mention a few of them. We know of John Hagee. He had an affair with a secretary in his church, and he divorced his wife for that secretary. And now that secretary is now called the pastor's wife in his church. People know that. People who follow him know that. But then, they are not interested in looking at that life of his and asking questions. Why do you live in adultery when the Bible is clear that you can't do that? We know of Benny Hinn having an affair with Paula White. And they are both on TBN. They are called pastors. Many millions of people watch them every day. And they take whatever they are saying seriously, because they've been brought to believe that these people are actually pastors. When they are not, when they commit adultery and they confess to it, but they still continue in it. We know of TBN founder Paul Krause having sex with another man and paying off that man to keep quiet. When those allegations came to the fore, he did admit them, but he never confessed that sin, or maybe become sorrowful over that sin. Instead, he made excuses for it. He wanted to be justified for it. Just last year, Geelong was accused by four boys from his church of sleeping with them. Now, what does he do? He continued to pastor the church. He continued to be the senior pastor at this church. Even when the church people knew about these things, they still considered him to be the Lord's anointed. That if you go and ask them, why do you still continue going there? They will say, don't touch the Lord's anointed. But the guy admitted to abusing these boys. We know of Ray McCauley divorcing twice because he couldn't keep himself from the girls at church. But he's still a pastor there. People are still following him. So these guys, what they're doing, they convince their followers that sin is just normal, that we are just human, and we are bound to do this kind of sins. And when I do them as the pastor, as the false prophet, then you guys shouldn't condemn me, because you yourselves are doing the same thing. So now, because both the false teachers and the followers are committing these sins, so there's no one who will go and say, but no, you can't do that, because they are doing the same thing. Now, the fourth thing that we can see, the fruit of these false teachers, is that they are married to greed and they financially exploit people. Apostle Peter said in verse 14, they are experts in greed, in greed. Meaning, they know how to manipulate people out of the money and making people feel emotionally guilty so that they can give the money. So they are fraudsters. They are committing fraud, but are using the church as some sort of a cover-up for them to be able to continue this lifestyle of being a fraudster. They use words like, you need to sow a seed to this ministry or to this church. That this is your season. That you need to give 10% of your salary to the church. And they even tell you whether you should give gross income or cost to company or net. They are telling you. So you, as a man, you are not the head of the family. They are the head. So they tell you, from your budget, you need to give us this much. And then you and the kids can go and see what you can do with the rest of it. They claim that God blessed them with money and houses and aeroplanes. When in actual fact, that's the process of this crime, of fraud, of greed that they are committing. Now people, because they also love money, they also want to drive nice cars, they just follow them, they want the same kind of blessing, not realizing that what these guys are doing, they're actually committing fraud. Some of them are accused of money laundering and tax evasion. Some like Dressmeyer, they've been accused of laundering money, using a church as some sort of a, what do they call it in accounting, sort of a dormant company to move money around. That's what the mafia does. They're doing money laundering. And that's what Dressmeyer does. People know this, but they still go and give to them. They never get the financial statements audited, or they never even give a financial report, but people somehow still think that this money is going to good use. Apostle Paul warned against the love of money. He said, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. I was hearing that this guy who started Tirani Church, I can't remember his name, I think he's Mukwena guy, that he used to be a Pentecostal priest, and used to be a priest at Assemblies of God. But one day he told them, guys, I'm tired of these things you are busy doing. I want to go and make money now. Making money. He's a millionaire, multi-millionaire. He has millions of followers. That's why I said, if you just decide to be a false teacher, you will immediately have a following. You will immediately have a mega church. So if one of you were to be a false teacher, you will immediately build a big church here in Olivet. Because of the love of money. They say to people that God wants them to be rich, healthy, and prosperous. But Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But they are saying, no, in this world you will be rich, you will be healthy, you will prosper in everything you do. Paul said, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, he will be persecuted. And Paul himself rejoiced over his sufferings in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He listed a list of sufferings that he went through. And we consider Paul to be the best Christian we have ever seen. But he's saying he had so many sufferings, so many death threats on his life, so many fasting, so many forced fasting. He has been stoned and whipped and tortured many times. But they are telling you that the sign for you to know that you are a good Christian is to be healthy and rich and prosperous. But here was Paul, who listed half a chapter based on his sufferings. But they will tell you, no, if you want to show that you are a Christian, you must have some evidence of success in you. Now, the fifth fruit they are showing is the fact that they elevate their own books above the Bible. The reason they have books that sell millions and they're in New York Times bestsellers is because that they are elevating these books to be above the Bible. They tell the followers that if you read our book, then there won't be a need for you to go and read the Bible. So now the book replaces the Bible. That's why these followers, because they don't exactly want to read the Bible, they now go and rush to read and buy these people's books. You will find people having libraries full of these false teachers' books, but not even a single Bible in the home. Now, these books of theirs, they are presented as the final ways on how a person has to live, on what is expected of that person, or what God wants from a human. So that book is some sort of a final word, and nobody can go and question that book. So whatever that book says, you must do. That's why when you watch the shows, they will preach for like 5 minutes, and then they will advertise the book and tell you about the book, what the book offers, and why you need to buy it immediately. Or maybe they will have a special say, no, get it now. That's how they work. These people, they suffer from pride. They're proud. They want to be the best. They want to be better than God. They want to be known as this best. Just as Satan wanted to be known as God. He wanted to be God himself. They suffer from the same sin. Some of them go as far as to write their own Bibles. Joseph Smith did the same thing with his Mormon book. The Western society have their own Bible because they couldn't enjoy the Bible the way it is. Now they had to go and have their own Bible. Now let's look at the future of these false prophets. In Daniel chapter 11, we are told of a man who will exalt himself, who will be like the epitome of all the false teaching and the false prophecy. You know this man to be the Antichrist. So these false teachers we have today, they are leading us to the Antichrist. Remember that Satan came. And now these guys are fulfilling the desire of Satan to fill that gap until the Antichrist is being revealed. Now we are told that this Antichrist, he will exalt himself above God. He will blaspheme God. He will be successful and have a big following. He will be worshipped by multitudes as one worships God. He will perform miracles. Now many people think that these guys can't perform miracles. They can't perform miracles. But the power, by this demonic power, they are able to perform miracles. And this man will perform miracles. But then again we are told that his end will be to be cast into the lake of fire. Now my friend, beware of these false teachers because they are everywhere. Today if you tune to us, Rescue TV, from the morning till night, it's all of them. If you go to TBN from Monday to Monday, morning till night, it's all of them. God TV, ETV, Daystar, it's all of them. They are everywhere. Just next door, that the here. So you can't run away from them. You have to live among them, but you will have to be separate from them. Jesus said, they are like wolves in sheep clothing. So they are not that obvious from the natural eye. People can just see them from the way they dress and say, there is a false teacher. No. You have to be able to know the word of God. You have to be able to make the word of God your bread. You have to eat it just like honey. And it will be as sweet to you. Then God will open your spiritual eyes and then you will see them. The Bible said they will deceive even the elect if that were possible. Some of the people who were saved, they are being deceived by these guys. To thinking that these guys are Christians, are saved. But they are not. They have been deceived. But I believe that every person who has been saved, God will rescue that person from the clashes of these false prophets. It might take some time. I might go and sit in the ministry for like years. But one day, God will open your eyes and then you see that these people are not preaching the word of God and you need to move as far away from them as possible. Now, how should we treat these false prophets? You are not commanded to persecute them, but rather we are commanded to expose them, to expose that these, to name and shame them. That's what Paul did in 1 Timothy 1 verse 20. He was speaking to Timothy there about the false teachers. He was warning him about the false teachers. The whole of chapter 1 is just talking about these false teachers. And then when he ends that chapter, he says, among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. He mentioned them by name. He never said to Timothy, no, just be careful, there are one or two people. So Timothy has to go and figure out which one is the false teacher. No, Paul named the name publicly. Remember that this letter went to be read by the churches. That's how we came to have it as part of the Bible. Because it was being read in a church gathering. So churches knew that these two guys, Alexander and Hymenaeus, were false prophets. So we need to mention them by name so the church can know that these guys are false prophets. Don't get anywhere near them. Don't watch them. Don't buy their books. Don't listen to them. Now, if a person goes and listens to them, they're fine. They've been warned. Now, we need to repent from the love of money. That's how people get to fall into these false teachings and false prophets. We need to repent from lustful thoughts. That's how people get to go to these churches where they will excuse their sin. We need to repent from pride. That's how Satan fell from heaven. That's how these guys got to be the false prophets. Now, if we have pride, we'll also turn into false prophets. We need to repent from our desire for entertainment in the house of God. People want to be entertained in the house of God to the point where the one wants any sound teaching or anything that one entertain them to be practiced inside the church. If you come and preach about this, they'll be bored. They will just leave. They want you to come and preach about something that will make them stand up and shout and clap their hands. Now we need to be content with what we have, not desiring to have more unreasonably, of course. Now we need to look forward to blessings in heaven, not blessings in this earth. Many people want to be seen that they are blessed of God, but the blessings that are guaranteed are the ones kept for us in our heaven. And we need to seek first the kingdom of God, not the kingdoms of this world. Remember that Satan promised Jesus the kingdoms of this end. But Jesus said no to them. But these guys, Satan offers them the same deal. Said, if you will worship me, I will give you all this wealth. And this guy says yes. Then the doom is sealed. But we need to seek first the kingdom of God, the one that we cannot lose. But what is true prophecy? Remember that Peter, when he was writing this book, he told them that I was an eyewitness of this thing. What things were those? First thing of them is that Christ died to make a sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice to God for your sins. And that through repentance and faith in Christ, you will be saved. That's the true prophecy. That you don't need to go and say some prayer or go and join the church. But you need to repent and have faith in Jesus, and you will be saved. You will get this eternal life that you will lose. Of course, that doesn't mean that you won't have troubles. You will have troubles in this world. That's the true prophecy, that you will have troubles for the fact that you are a Christian. Not for any other thing. For the fact that you are a Christian, you will be persecuted, you will have trouble. That's the true prophecy. But these guys, they will never preach this. Because if they do, people's eyes will be opened and they will leave them. So my friend, believe the gospel. And be careful of these false prophets and false teachers. Amen. We can close with hymn 26. I love that hymn.